thing, Representative, the committee, Representative Sykes.
Thank you, Senator Kozlowski, Representative. First of all, my compliments. Okay. Very few legislators take the time to investigate, personally experience things before they make a decision or before make some crazy testimony. I'm hoping we can get a copy of your testimony. I do have one question on your visit to the state prison. Were you required to wear a man down alarm inside the perimeter?
We were given an alarm.
It's a man down alarm, which if it goes off, you go pro, or you can activate it personally.
Yeah, I don't actually remember that term being applied. We were told if we removed the pin, help would come.
Good. Thank you.
Further questions, Representative Flubber.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good afternoon, Representative Hink. I do have a question, but first of all, I also would like to compliment you on recognizing the quality and character of our correctional employees. I found that to be true whenever I visited state facilities, and frankly, they've demonstrated that through the accreditation process. I also have found that to be true with the Cumberland County Jail, which I know is very close to your district, and people are very much dedicated to their profession. I thought it was.
And the Sea Dogs and Manet.
I found the employees to be very dedicated. My question, I want to be sure I understand. It's my understanding that the use of solitary confinement, SMU, for some people with mental illness is to protect them from other inmates and sometimes themselves. Did I understand you correctly to say that that type of protection should never be used for people with mental illness or serious mental illness?
Thank you. It's an important question. And I do not pretend to be able to give the final answer on that. It does seem apparent to me that as an individual goes down a road, mental illness eventually, the isolation is only going to dissemble the person. And we were told by a guard, and you probably know this in the committee, that when the inmates get destructive, they need to be watched 24 hours. And we actually saw the correctional officers who were stationed outside a window looking straight into the cell, which they do, as I understand it, for 1 hour only. Someone else comes in and they do that for 24 hours. I thought there's extraordinary expense probably involved in that. But the reason why is the inmate apparently has become so self-destructive and they've taken away everything they could use. And this guard told us that the inmates will break their teeth and use it against themselves. I would like to believe that that kind of extreme situation would be better avoided if the circumstances allowed a little bit more of the human interaction and contact and normal environment. In any event, something more than just 3 books a week for stimulation. If we have currently there's windows that are fair. And they're apparently protected, so we can do that. I think we can put a screen behind a window and show sports or dance or nature or yoga or something for those people that would not get as much out of books as other people would, because it's an environment that makes it very difficult, I think, to maintain sanity, and I would tend to think would only exacerbate the situation.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'm not sure if I asked my question clearly, but what I was looking for is, could there be any exception for some limited time, just getting a person out of the situation where they're likely to be harmed by other prisoners, or was it carte blanche, never put them in isolation?
Well, now, this is going to get easier, because I think in many respects your question answers itself. And it seems to me it's impossible to have an absolute blanket prohibition under all circumstances, that you need to accommodate the exigencies, the demands of each situation. And in some instances, it may be the only thing to do.
Representative Burns. Thanks, Senator. Thank you, Representative. I want to join into the remarks made by the others that have been very impressed with the amount of time and energy and scrutiny that you're giving this thing. And certainly the praise of the institutions there. I'm trying to follow you very closely, and you may very well address my question at the very end of your statement. You said that the remarks that were made by the former staffer concerning taking away the tools that cause danger and harm. You didn't necessarily agree with that sort of assessment, but I think what you're saying is there is a place for about everything that they have for a tool there. Is that what you're saying? It may be overused, it may be scrutinized. I'll let you answer, but that's what you're saying.
Everything deserves a caveat in the limited amount of time. I haven't tried to spend time on it, but the limited time that I've actually been able to go deep into it. I think at other times MACE may have been overused, and they're using it less. Should we take it away as a tool of criminal justice? No. I think maybe the same thing applies to the restraints. But once we have gotten an understanding of the reasonable limits and the due process that should be in the process, I think it should be made part of the law rather than allow another administration to come in later and possibly reverse it and go back to a situation where MACE is used too frequently or restraints are overused. If we know that it can be done professionally in a different way, I think our law, or at least our rules, should reflect those changes. But no, not take the tools away.
Thank you. Further questions, Representative? Seeing none, thank you very much.
Thank
I'm
going to
take any comments from the Senator Bartlett next.
Thank you very much, Chairman Rosofsky, members of the Distinguished Committee. I just want to just step forward and briefly express my support, and I will be brief. I want to thank the sponsor for bringing this bill forward. I can't think of a more important issue to be considering for a group of people who often don't get a whole lot of sympathy. I agree with much of what Representative Hink said in terms of the need for a balanced approach, making sure that we have the proper safeguards in place for our corrections officers and so forth. But when you're talking about solitary confinement, you really have to figure out how to make sure there's strong due process rights in place and how you make sure you are not causing more harm than good. And one of the things that has deeply concerned me over the years is the number of folks who are in our correctional facilities who have mental illness. A lot of people end up there because of it, and others develop it while they're there. And what deeply concerns me is that the use of solitary confinement can solve a short-term problem, management problem within a jail, but can end up making problems much worse as people take the kind of dive into dissemblement that Representative Hink spoke of. So I think it's important that you're taking a look at this issue, that you carefully weigh those balancing factors, and make sure that solitary confinement is done as humanely as possible and is used only when there are no other reasonable options available. There's obviously a larger issue that we should be spending a lot more money on mental health provision in our jails. That's a larger budgetary issue, I know. But I think we do a tremendous disservice both to the inmates and to the public at large when we put people into a situation that we know is going to make them worse, and particularly if they're going to be released at some point in the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Senator. Questions of the Senator or the members of the committee? Seeing none, thank you very much, Senator Bartlett. Now I will take further testimony from sponsors of the bill, co-sponsors of the bill. The co-sponsor might give me just one brief moment, and I'm going to ask the committee for its patience for a second. Representative Schatz understands that once you present a bill or testify on a bill, during a public hearing, you can no longer ask any questions of the bill. But Senator, Representative Schatz would like to ask for something to be brought for the work session. So if you can do that in a couple of seconds, I'll be glad to give you that opportunity.
Thank you, Senator. Representative Hink mentioned the inmate who had mutilated himself. He attempted to castrate himself, or maybe he did indeed, and that was under the 24-hour watch. And what I wanted were the words
there's a chance we're certainly going to make a mention of that for the work session. And if there's going to be any more for the work session, we'll make sure at the end of the public hearing that we get them all aired. So there's no fear. Representative, now can I please have your testimony? Sir, I'm not going to stop you again.
Good afternoon, Senator Grzowski, my good Representative Haskell, and esteemed and some friendly colleagues on this committee. I am Richard Wagner, state representative for a portion of Lewiston. I am here to testify in favor of the LD 1611, an act to ensure humane treatment of special management prisoners. Let me begin by echoing Representative Schatz and Representative Hink in their applause and active support for most of the efforts of the state prison system in maintaining the state prisons and in treating the prisoners in a humane, respectful fashion. I, too, visited the state prison at Warren last Friday and, like them, have been positively impressed by the professionalism of the staff that we met. All I have heard about the new warden, Fisher Barnhart, has been positive, in fact, enthusiastically so. The special management unit, SMU facilities, which are the focus of this legislation, seem quite appropriate for the most part. I'm sure that there are aspects that can be improved, and word is that the new administration is in the process of effecting those improvements. I want to limit my testimony to one aspect of the treatment of prisoners in SMU, and that is the need to have extensive safeguards in place to ensure that treatment is constantly being monitored. Through my old role as a social psychologist with special interest in conflict and violence, I'm relatively familiar with the literature on dealing with violent people. The staff at Warren are, too. They've been trained. They are really the experts. We all know that handling potentially violent prisoners is tricky and dangerous. I wouldn't want their jobs for all officers in Castro Bay. But we also know that the pressures of a difficult, dangerous job like theirs can beat staff, however infrequently, to respond in an inappropriate and destructive fashion, plus the need for extensive public supervision. The famous Stanford prison experiment carried out by Philip Zimbardo, which, if some of you went to college after 1970 and took Psych 101, you would know about. This demonstrated just how easy it is for well-intentioned, good people to get sucked into the system when power and defiance, disobedience clash. The American Psychological Association at this very moment is struggling with a major debate over whether psychologists should participate in incarceration and interrogation settings like Guantanamo. Theoretically, they're there because they believe they can safeguard the prisoners from harsh treatment by the guards. But as we all know, they didn't, despite their good intentions. It seems to me that objective, reliable safeguards are essential in these kinds of situations, and only through legislation can we give the penal system the support it needs to establish policies to ensure that all prisoners are treated in the most respectful, effective fashion possible. And let me add, as an aside, this bill needs a lot of work. It really does. And I hope that it can be done in a collaborative fashion. This should not be an adversarial procedure. The correction system, they have some great expertise. They can bring some real wisdom to this kind of legislation. We, as representatives of the public, can do the same thing, and I hope that will happen. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I'm sure it will. Questions from the committee? Seeing none, you're off the hook. Now I would like to take testimony from proponents of this bill. I would like to get a raise of hands, a show of hands, to how many would like to speak in favor of this bill. Okay, thank you very much. We're going to be taking testimony. We're going to go an hour on and an hour off. We're a little over a half hour. So we'll take the testimony for another 20 minutes. And at that time, the folks downstairs start making their way up because we'll be making room.